Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan shot today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Red Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now, as all guests do, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Big Z!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, we're all fired up. The Bears finally get to get back on the field, get to play another rival, another division game, and this time it is the Vikings coming in, and this is a team that has some big-time weapons, has some interesting things they want to do on defense. It's a really good team that started very well. I don't know that they'll keep it up. I don't know that they're unbeatable, but they certainly have started the season in excellent form.
Oh yeah, there's no question about it. When you looked at what most people felt would be a kind of a step back season for the Minnesota Vikings, and then J.J. McCarthy has the knee injury in preseason and is lost for the year, and Darnold starts really hot for him. They got to their bye, and you looked at it, and you said, geez, during training camp, this might have been about the spot where you figured they'd be making that transition. Darnold, the bridge guy, to J.J. McCarthy, the first-round draft pick. But Darnold got off to a hot start. He's certainly slowed down since, but they're playing well around him. They're kind of living complimentary football. The Bears talk about it a lot. I think the Vikings are living it. I don't know what kind of role they can stay on. Currently 8-2. Nobody would have figured they would have been 13-4 just 2 years ago in 2022, when I think everybody looked at it and said, my golly, that's the worst 13-4 team I've ever seen. They just weren't that. They didn't look like a dominant football team. And here they are again, with a stellar record. Maybe that's coaching.
So, Brad, it doesn't directly affect the Bears, but it does impact their future in the division. How would you describe what Sam Darnold is playing for in terms of his own career? This has been a resurgent season. He's cooled off somewhat, but he still has given the Vikings a positive, really productive play at the quarterback position, and he's on a one-year affordable contract.
Yeah, I think teams felt decent about Darnold the last couple of years, better than maybe the public did. Like, San Francisco wanted him back this year, okay? They felt like he brought some real value to their operation last season. Now, they couldn't offer him even a bridge role there, and they probably weren't going to pay him the $10 million that the Vikings have. But I mean, when you're in a one-year deal, you're playing for your future. I think it's as simple as that. And right now, if the season ended today, you know, Darnold's way more attractive to teams out there looking for a quarterback than, you know, another guy who's going to be a free agent like Justin Fields, right?
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think
he's probably...
I mean, it's not even close. Yeah.
You know, we were talking, Brad, like, I think he's a starter in the NFL next year. Now, I don't know. I don't know where it is. I don't know that it's...
Right. I mean, this doesn't look like a stacked quarterback class in terms of the draft.
Nope.
I'd be surprised if Darnold wasn't starting next year. Now, who knows? There's a lot of football left. He could fall on his face the rest of the way. I don't know, but you would figure something would open up for him. You know, he's trying to follow the path that that Baker Mayfield went down, right? Which was highly drafted quarterback, massive failure, disappointment, bounce around a little, and then fits in pretty nicely. Like Baker Mayfield, say what you want about him, he's top half of the league, right? If you're going 1 through 16 at the quarterback mm-hmm. position,
he is this year.
Your list is, and he was last year. Your list is going to have Baker Mayfield in there. Mm-hmm. So that's what Darnold's trying to. Replicate.
Looking at the Bears and knowing that Justin Jefferson is, he's a great offensive weapon and he's a very dangerous player and he's capable of making circus catches. I just don't know how they're going to defend him. Are they going to have – they don't like having one guy shadow people around the field, but this could be a place for an exception to that rule.
Or possibly you do it, here and there. You pick your spots for it, right? But Jefferson's a guy who is and it happens. But he's had some of his biggest games against the division guys.
Yep.
Like he's just gone wild on some of these teams, and he's one of those guys that you can have the game plan to prevent him from beating you, but he's going to wind up going for 120 yards anyway. Like that's how talented he is.
Next to him.
Oh yeah, I mean Watson can't stay healthy. Right. Like Watson
might be a bum anyway.
He's got right, and that crazy thing about that Watson last week is what do you have, a 150 and on 4 catches? I mean, it was just insane. But Jefferson is the guy they're going to have to account for, no question. And they've got some other guys, and Darnold's done a decent job of spreading the ball around a little bit. But it looks like Jefferson has a decent chance going over 1,000 yards for the season in Sunday's game. So he's, he's on his way to, 1,500-ish, I would think. This season, so they've got to get the pass rush going, though. Like, that was just woeful last week. They got some hits on the rookie Drake May the week before, but I don't think it's been to the standard they would like. It certainly hasn't been as consistent as it was earlier in the season, and if you let Darnold kind of tap the ball back there like it seemed like Love was able to do from time to time, you're going to have some problems. And you're not going to be able to cover a guy like Justin Jefferson or Jordan Addison or whoever as long as you need to when you're not getting home up front.
Brad, Richard Hightower was impressive on Thursday, taking responsibility for the block field goal and everything that comes with that because he's a special teams coordinator. And I ask you this, and it probably is one of those questions you just it is leading, but I wonder, as impressive as he was, you know, showing leadership qualities that frankly have been in short supply publicly, at least from Matt Eberflus this week or through the midst of this crisis, would that have any impact on whether or not the Bears would feel differently about making an in-season move at the head coaching position because they feel like they have somebody maybe in Richard Hightower who is equipped for the public aspect of that job as an interim head coach? Would the way that he presented himself or how impressive he was have any bearing on the thought process?
I don't think so, because, I mean, when you talk about the making a head coaching change for the public thing, like, the only thing that's going to change public feeling about the Bears right now is winning football games. And if they're going to lose press conferences, like, they're like in the standings with the White Sox this season right now in terms of their record in press conferences, okay? So that's a lost cause. They've just got to go out and win football games. That's the only deodorant for what smells right now. It's the cure. That's what they've got to do. I just, like, you know, you can Eberflus and you give the spot to Hightower, like, for what? Like, why? I don't see that happening.
You know, as we look at this point in the season, and Brad, you obviously are living it, but it just feels like they've had some really bad losses, but they've been in some games too, and I don't know that they're going to have another heartbreaking loss. I think it's one every 3 weeks or something, but when you look at this game, was it difficult to make your pick? Did you have to wrestle with some ideas, or do you think it's the Bears are pretty much on a downward swing? And, you know, the part of the problem is if you lose this game, you're going to lose on Thursday. You're talking about a 6-game losing streak.
And then you got to get on a plane and go to San Francisco, although the 49ers are having all kinds of problems this year. A lot of injury problems to a lot of key players, and this feels like if they want to even introduce the idea of the potential for hope with what they've got going on, they have to win this football game, right? Like, there's no other way around it. And I think it's the kind of game that the Bears can keep close, right? I believe that. I've been to way too many Bears-Vikings games at Soldier Field where the Vikings came in clearly the better team, right, which I think is true in this instance, and the Bears have found a way to really gum it up for Minnesota and win in many cases. So knowing that, like look at that game last year. Like, Fields gets hurt, he goes out, and it's still a close game. What was the final of that one? Like 19-13, I want to say. So I think the Bears will have the capacity to do that. And if you do that, right, you're one play away. Like, close football games decided by what? You know, a play here, a play there. So I think they've got the capacity to do that. I'm just concerned about their ability to run the football and be multidimensional on offense, which I think is mandatory for them to have a shot at success. So I ended up picking the Vikings to win the game, guys. I think I had 23-13, but if it's a lot closer than that, I wouldn't be surprised because, like I told you, you've seen it happen time and again in this series.
So you got the Bears scoring 13 points?
They scored 19 last week.
How is Thomas Brown going to make that sound impressive?
That's unlucky.
Well, hey, listen, they made improvements offensively last week, and it wasn't just stuff where it's the eye test. Okay, like they made improvements where you look at
the eye test for a second.
No, don't cut me off. They scored 19 points, Dave, and we've had this celebration citywide. We've had a celebration citywide about their offense. They scored 19 points. That would have been good enough
to
win
it, Brad.
One football game last Sunday.
But you just talked about it. You answered a question about interim head coaches, about how they aren't likely to do that. And then you told us they're going to score 13 points, and they're staring at a six-game losing streak. If you're in a six-game losing streak and you're scoring 13 points at this stage of the season after firing your offensive coordinator, why wouldn't they fire their head coach before the season is up?
I didn't find Hightower impressive yesterday either. So, I mean, we're going to disagree on that too.
Okay. Add it to the list.
You're firing the coach to do what? Announce to the world you're going to have a new coach in 2025? It sure looks like that's going to happen. I just don't. These teams that fire coaches in season, you tend to look a lot like the Silver and Black, the Raiders. You can look like the Panthers, Jacksonville, the Jets. Show me the examples of like, they hit it here. This was great. Like, I think you're waving the dysfunction flag. Are they delaying the obvious? Yeah, if they can't break out of this losing streak, they are delaying the obvious. But I don't see a path to.
Yeah.
You're talking about promoting the guy who says, yeah, it's my fault. We didn't have the A-gap tight. I just that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And I'm not blaming Richard Hightower for the loss. But it just apparently Dave woke up this morning wanting someone to lose their job.
That's not true. That's so not true. You're coming at me a lot harder than you're coming at anybody in the Bears coaching staff.
Oh, my goodness. Hold on. I was in front of everyone on this Shane Waldron thing.
Okay. Like, That's true.
I told you guys he couldn't command the room and that type of thing. And that's what Brown's been able to do. I think he's got buy-in from the players.
Right.
So we'll see. But you talk about them trying to score against the Vikings. You can make some plays on them, okay, in the passing game. But they're number one in the league against the run. And they're tied for third in sacks, and they bring a variety of pressures. Like it's going to be a difficult task for Caleb and for the offensive linemen.
Well, at least the offensive linemen look like they're getting healthy. Tevin Jenkins, full participation in practice,
moving back in the right direction. Yeah.
So that not much, but that's something.
And you had DeAndre Swift limited in practice yesterday after sitting out on Wednesday. And I got the impression Wednesday that he'd be okay to go in this game because they're going to have to try to run the ball on Minnesota. They're going to have to strive for some balance there. And they've been, I think it's the last three games, Minnesota's given up 2.8 a carry or it might even be less than that. They've given up less than 160 yards rushing combined in the last three ball games. The Bears have got to find a way to break through that. They've got to hope that the Vikings look a little bit different on grass than they do at home, playing on artificial surface. And they've got to, they got to try to play with the lead, right? Like we've talked about that all year. They just can't get going in the first quarter.
Random question. Tyler Scott has not been involved at all. What happened to him after a pretty promising preseason?
I think it's a numbers game. That fourth wide receiver, there's just not a lot of room for a guy like that. And then you're not seeing him on special teams because he doesn't profile as that kind of guy in terms of coverage teams, right? I mean, he can play a role in the return game. And we've seen him do some of that, but they've had, as you know, and we've talked about it a lot, they've had so many issues getting the ball to their other three wide receivers at times that it's probably been difficult to get him out there. But, yeah, you barely see him. Maybe if some type of injury happens, there'll be an opportunity for him to step forward. But yeah, you saw him in preseason and in training camp, you know, make some plays here and there, and it looked like he was on the same page. In talking to Chris Beatty, the wide receivers coach, just a couple weeks ago about Tyler, you know, he was adamant that Tyler's getting better in practice, that you can see some of that development you want in year two, but, you know, that it's a difficult spot for them to be in because they've got, you know, three players that are different. Two certainly a heck of a lot more experienced, and the other one's a top 10 pick in the draft ahead of them.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. Thank you, Big Z. We appreciate it, buddy.
Good stuff, Brad. See you Sunday.
Have a great weekend, guys.
So we accept that the Bears are desperate. They have to win the game, but they can't. Is that kind of where we're at with it?
I have a hard time seeing how they can. I don't want to be negative. I think it would be great to come in here Monday morning after a Bears victory. Tell me how.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. They'd need divine intervention.
Tell me how.
Yeah, things happen.
What's the pathway to victory for the Bears? Is there one?
I mean, they'd have to do things they haven't done all year. Like, they'd have to score in the first quarter. They'd have to be very efficient on what they're doing. Could they win the game? Yes. But it's very difficult to pick a pathway for it. Mully and Haw on the score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But I'll start with this, right? So it's kind of what I told the offense on Monday. There are no attaboys in this game. We played a game to win. And we came up short.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. That's the voice of Thomas Brown, the new offensive coordinator. No attaboys. I got to tell you, I like him, and I think he can get them their 13 points.
Well, he was impressive again. I don't know what it means. He needs to translate that. They need to translate that as a unit onto the field, score more than 13 points, 19 points, get into the 20s, give yourself a chance to win a football game. To do that, to answer the question I asked rhetorically, what is the pathway for victory for the Bears? Offensively, it's more than just protecting the football. I think this week, maybe most weeks, it's more than just protecting the football. That's how you want to win on defense. You want to create takeaways and make Sam Darnold throw you the ball by pressuring him and coming at him early and often. But offensively, I think you've got to take some risks that maybe where you're going to get rewards. Take some risks that you haven't taken in recent weeks. Last week was a get to know you with a new offensive play caller. It was a get-to-know-you Sunday afternoon. I think that for the Bears to feel better about beating the Vikings and handling this defense, which is a tremendous challenge, they stop the run better than anyone in the NFL, and they lead the league in interceptions. It's a heck of a combination, and they're going to blitz you because he's the king of the zero blitz. You've got to take some risks because if not, you're going to sit back there and wilt as they attack, attack, attack. So you've got to attack in return, I think.
I just don't know. I mean, here's the problem I have, and it's a major problem, David, which is we sit here and we talk about their great receiving core, but I don't see them ever getting the ball to these guys. I don't see Rome Odunze making these big plays down the field. I see DJ Moore getting the ball at the line of scrimmage. I don't see him ever getting the ball down the field. And, you know, Keenan Allen, as Tom Brady eloquently said, has the ability to beat you, to separate more laterally than downfield. And I don't even see them getting the ball to him that much. I just think that their offense, with all the big weapons, it doesn't use them nearly with the frequency you thought they would. Even when they get the ball to Cole Kmet, it's more like, oh, there he is, Cole Kmet, they got him the ball. It's not like, wow, they're consistently getting the ball to him. I just feel like they got all these weapons. We talked about the great receivers, but they're not able to do much about it because they don't have any time in the pocket and they're trying to get rid of the ball.
The best throw of the day came to Cole Kmet. That was the one where Caleb Williams dropped it between defenders and put it exactly where it needed to be. And then you were like, well, okay, that's what that's supposed to look like. Let's see it again. Let's see it more often. The Bears were very balanced, 34 runs, 34 passes called against the Packers. And ideally, they do that again. But at the same time, I think that if you're going to be 50-50, your 50% of your passing plays have got to be more aggressive, less conservative. It's got to be what you described, or it's got to be the opposite of what you described. You know, they're very good at finding these guys laterally, horizontally, but you need to stretch the vertical passing game. And that's what's been missing as much as anything from this Bear offense. And I think that when you saw that last drive, as I've referred to a couple times this week, you saw the sense of urgency take over. And when that happens, Caleb Williams thinks what? Thinks big. What you want him to do is have that approach almost on every series, because you know what, Molly, the other way's not working.
It's not working.
It may sound reckless and
it is out of control, and you can't play like that for the whole game, and they gotta eat the clock and do the things that you need to do to win football games. The other thing is, I don't think they consistently run the ball. They will run the ball in spurts and they will be able to get a first down maybe, but they don't consistently pound the rock like when you think about complementary football.
They don't, and that has as much to do maybe with the offensive line as anything.
Yeah.
But this weekend they have to at least make a token effort to establish the run, maybe to slow down the blitz a little bit, maybe freeze the linebackers on play action. But the approach that I'm describing isn't haphazard as much as it is intentionally aggressive, because haphazard is, well, let's just drop back and throw it down the field without thinking this through. I think you're thinking it through by threatening the Viking defense to maybe slowing down the blitz by hitting an early downfield pass so they think twice before the next time they isolate DJ Moore in one-on-one coverage,
right,
or Keenan Allen, or whoever it may be.
Yeah.
Rome Odunze. We talk about these receivers. You're right. All preseason, all offseason, it's been very disappointing to see them not perform in this passing game.
No, and they're not. And I think a lot of it is, you know, when we watch the preseason, they're like, people aren't really rushing the passer. They're not doing any games or stunts or any. It's just, you know, you're more or less playing 7-on-7 in more of a glorified situation than you really are playing NFL football. I just feel like there was a lot of misinformation. I just feel like this has been about as disappointing a season as I can remember in a long time. And not because we got over our skis. I think people definitely got over their skis.
But I
think that what you wanted was to graduate to a point where you could do enough, win enough to be on the verge of a winning program. And instead, here you are, you're 4-6, and you got people like Dustin saying you're never going to win another game. And you got guys like me thinking they've got to win this game. This is the season. It's got to be won. And failing to come up with a way in which they can do it.
It is hard to envision them winning a game.
They have to
for any other reason down the stretch except for it's the NFL, and these things kind of happen. It's not because the Bears look like they're capable of winning close games against good opponents. They have not. And I would, not to quibble, I agree with you in terms of the reaction to this season being as disappointing as any that we can remember. But I do think it's related to the way we felt in August, because the optimism was as high as any season we could remember in preseason. We were comparing it to 2019, 2007, seasons that came on the verge and on the heels of playoff appearances. Now, the Bears certainly didn't make the playoffs last year. They bottomed out, essentially. Well, not bottomed out, but they did that 2 years ago. But what happened this preseason was we embraced expectations as a football city, and that's why I think right now it feels so demoralizing. Number one, you're falling short of expectations because in the standings you are 4-6. Number two, the way you're losing this game, these games, is it rips your heart out if you're a Bears fan. It's the way you're losing and that you're losing combining to make this the most disappointing team in recent memory.
Yeah, and frankly, there's no buzz at all. It's not like, okay, so you played better against Green Bay than you had been playing, but you failed at the end, and you did so in a fashion that was a real kick to the shins. You know, it was a real, and I don't mean the shins, be a little up from the shins.
Okay, Jim Harbaugh.
The knee. Oh, yeah, that's what he said. He said that when people try to tell you.
I really like your hoodie today. You look great today, Molly. You look very healthy today. Then you would kick me in the shins because I'm complimenting you.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he suggested.
Isn't that crazy?
He said it was a Bo Schembechler.
Bo Schembechler and Gary Moeller.
Gary Moeller.
Yeah, and
that made me laugh.
Yeah. But
kick him in the shins.
That's how you take a compliment.
Yeah.
And that was the Bo way. Yeah. You know?
What my college coach, Bo Schembechler, used to say, and Gary Moeller, who was the defensive coordinator, he would say, you know, when people, you know, are giving you accolades and compliments and telling you you've arrived, that kick them in the shins. You kick them right in the shins. That's what you do. And that those accolades could come from, you know, could come from people you don't know, could come from the media, could come from your teammates, could come from friends, could come from your own family. Yeah. They're trying to make you soft. Kick them in the shins.
Kick your mom in the shins is what Jim told me.
Made me a little nostalgic. My college coach, Paul Shudell at Ball State, was Bo Schembechler's offensive line coach for 10 years.
Chirp, chirp.
So he would quote Bo often. And hearing that, the way you handle praise, the way you handle compliments, brought me back to being in hearing those kinds of things and having Bo quoted. So I've heard it before, but you saying that is like, it's funny because it's how do you handle success? We know the Bears have not handled success or even expectations
well. They can't handle success.
It's one of the problems.
They haven't handled defeat very well, but they haven't handled
winning
either.
4-2 felt like they were on their way, and then someone exhaled, or maybe collectively they did.
All right. We got our guy, Joe Fortenbaugh. We'll ask Joe if there's life, is there hope? And then we'll find out. We also want to figure out what's going to happen in the college game, et cetera. It'll be a lot of fun to get to our man in Vegas, Joe Fortenbaugh, Mully and Haw on the Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our man in Vegas, whether he's in Vegas or not. He is the great Joe Fortenbaugh. He joins us now on the Aturo Hotline, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Joseph, good morning. How are you, sir?
Famous saying in Las Vegas, gentlemen, good teams win, but great teams cover. And what I watched last week between the Chicago Bears And I can't even remember who the opponent was at
Packers.
This point. I'm blanking.
Packers,
yeah,
Joe.
Packers.
Packers.
Didn't want to say it out loud.
No.
Didn't want to say it out loud. But a good team may have won in the Packers. A great team covered, gentlemen. That Chicago Bears team is a great team for getting that cover last week.
You're the one who thinks that. You're the only one who thinks that in Chicago on the airwaves, Joe.
Joe, you had a great weekend. You had some real prescient ideas last week, as I recall, talking about some of the college stuff as well. It was good.
We had a good run. We had John Jones winning in the third round, which is 6-1. We had the Tyson over, which,
yeah,
I'll tell you what,
great.
Like usual, you come off a fight like that and you think, why didn't I bet more? Why didn't I bet more? We only get so many of these opportunities. And then you turn around, good little college week. I like the fact that the Bears got home for us there. It didn't end the way everyone in Chicago would like, but that's what Joe Fornball does. He brings a little bit of positivity to the Chicago airwaves every Friday, and I'll tell you what, I think they might be a decent cover option again this week if you can get the 3.5. The offense looked a little bit better last week. Maybe, just maybe, when we're kicking field goals, we go to the right hash this week. Who knows?
Baby steps. Piling on as well, Joe. That's well done. All right, let's start with this weekend's NFL action then, if you want to go with the Bears or whatever else you got.
Rough weekend for this NFL card, to be completely honest. Rough weekend. I usually look down, I got a bunch of stuff for you. I got more on the college side, but I'll give you a few here. Giants Bucks under 41.5. You got DeVito at quarterback for the Giants. I'm not overly confident that's going to result in a lot of scoring. And on top of that, Tampa's coming off their bye. No Godwin. Evans not 100%. Offensive line banged up. The key is, the one thing the Giants do well is generate pressure with their front four. They don't need to blitz to get pressure on you. That's where Mayfield has struggled throughout his career. So if the Giants are able to suppress Mayfield, we get home here, we'll go under 41.5 points. I do like the Niners plus the 3 against the Packers. I believe that's a good buy low spot on San Francisco. It's been nothing but Packer money pushing it up to 3 because of the injuries in San Francisco. This Packer team's playing with fire. 4 of the last 5 wins are by one score. Quarterback turns the ball over way too often, at least one interception in every single game this year. Brock Purdy, only the second time in 38 career starts where he's an underdog. Jordan Love, lifetime, is a favorite, 4-7 against the spread. We'll buy low on the Niners at plus 3. Monday Night Football, I'm going to jump ahead. I'm going to play the Ravens minus a 3 over the Chargers. That's small. I'm going to go over 51. That's a bigger wager. All right, couple things here. You look at the Chargers' defensive metrics, everyone oohs and ahs. What a great defense. Such a great defense. Well, they beat it. They built those numbers up, beating a bunch of nobody offenses. Then they faced the Bengals last week. They gave up 27 points and over 450 yards of offense. The Ravens are going to move the ball on these guys. Conversely, with the way the Ravens play pass defense, the Chargers should be able to hang a number here as well. There's a reason this thing opened around 48 and got bet up like 3 points. I think we get a shootout Monday night. Working backwards to Sunday night, Philadelphia and the Rams, the first half under 23.5 would be the play there. These two teams rank 19th or worse in first half scoring. Philly's 8-2 to the first half under this year. The Rams are 7-3 to the first half under. Eagles defense has been red hot since that week 5 bye. So I'd be playing that one as well. So the recap, we want to go over 51 Ravens Chargers, a little bit on the Ravens there as well. Under 23.5 in the first half between the Eagles and the Rams. Under 41.5 in that matchup between the Giants and the Buccaneers. And we want to take the 3 with Philadelphia. Like I said, I do lean to Chicago a little bit. I think you're probably on track for an under in that game as well. But if you give me 3.5, I'll take it with the Bears, because I'll tell you something. As much as people look at Minnesota's record and say, wow, this is such a great surprise, Darnold's starting to go back into the tank. He's becoming the quarterback we remember him as we get later in the season. Look at that Jacksonville game from a couple weeks ago with all the turnovers. The Bears can make some plays here. But again, you got to button it up. You can't bear it up at the end of this game. You got to button it up. You got to figure out a way to close it out.
Do you have an opinion on this Indiana-Ohio State game? We have no idea. They have, you know, Indiana obviously has never played a team as good as this this season, but they have, in terms of mutual opponents, they've done as well as Ohio State has against Nebraska and Michigan State.
A lot of Indiana money the last few days. This got as high as Ohio State minus 13. It's now down to 10.5. If you see it get to 10, that's pretty significant, because 10's a key number there. So that's the move we're all kind of waiting on. And whether or not there's going to be some Ohio State money, I'm sure the public will get involved with Ohio State. I think the more prudent course of action is under 52.5 points here. All right, Ohio State's got the number one scoring defense in the country, number 2 in yards per play. I think they are going to be able to dictate a little bit against this Indiana team, especially in the trenches. But on the other side, what do we expect from Ohio State's offense, right? Starting centers out for this game. It's not as explosive a unit as we've seen in years past. That's what happens when you don't have C.J. Stroud at quarterback. It's no knock to Will Howard. He's done a very nice job, but they're a little bit more run heavy. So I'd be looking under 52.5 in that game. I'd lay the 14 with Notre Dame over Army. All due respect, Army's a great story. This is such a massive step up in class. I mean, Army strength of schedule. There's only 134 teams in college football. Army strength of schedule ranks 124th. Notre Dame's bigger, faster, stronger. They're going to run the ball at will here. And when Army gets off schedule and has to play from behind, that's not going to suit their offense very well. So I'd go ahead and I'd lay the 14 in that spot. A big look-ahead game coming up between Texas and Texas A&M next week. As a result, I'd look at the two opponents they play this week, and I'd bet both of them. I'd take Auburn plus 2.5 over A&M. Elko, the head coach at A&M, is already talking about the Texas game. I don't know what he's doing up behind a microphone already talking about the Texas game with a road trip to Auburn coming up, but you got to be careful with that. Classic look-ahead spot, Auburn plus 2.5. Also, Kentucky plus the 20.5 against Texas. Longhorns don't need to roll it up here. This is Kentucky's Super Bowl. They're playing for a bowl game, so they got to figure that stuff out. I'd also go Kansas plus 3 over Colorado. This is market peak for Colorado. I think it's 4 straight wins. Only one of those teams had a winning record, Texas Tech 6-4. Kansas is way better than people realize. We gave them out last week, they won. We gave them out 2 weeks ago, they won. They're 1-5 in one-score games. They've been incredibly unlucky, but they're better than people realize. So under 52.5 in the Ohio State game, Kansas plus 3, Kentucky plus 20, Notre Dame minus 14, Auburn plus 2.5. I'd also look to Minnesota against my alma mater, Penn State. Minnesota plus the 11.5. They're off the bye week. They can play defense. Penn State a little bit overrated, in my opinion, on the defensive side of the ball. I think Minnesota could give them some fits in that game.
This segment with Joe Fortenbaugh, sponsored by the Illinois Department of Transportation. It's not a game, Illinois.com. Joe, that's great stuff, and sorry that Tom Herman got fired.
Yeah, can you believe such a thing? The amount of people in Chicago that reach out to me anytime there's a Tom Herman piece of news, it just warms my heart. It warms my heart.
We listen, Joe. We listen.
Many years. Like, we started talking about that when I was in San Francisco, which is 2 moves ago. It's Vegas and 4 years before that. So you guys, it warms my heart. And you know what else warms my heart? The Illinois Department of Transportation. I'm glad that they're on board with this segment. Nothing says Joe Fortenbaugh like the Illinois Department of Transportation.
It's so true. Joe, you're the best. Bless you, buddy.
Thanks, Joe.
Hey, we don't have any fights.
Love you guys. Love you guys. It's got to be the week. It's got to be the week. Go Bears. Right.
They need it. My God, that is Joe Fortenbaugh. They do need it, man. Holy cow.
Yeah.
But even Joe can't come up with a way.
He thought they were good. He said they were great last week.
Well, I mean, they did cover.
I know.
And he called it.
And how? What does that do for you?
Well, we're here. He's national. I think it does a lot if you're
if you're outside.
Joe likes making the right call. Obviously.
I know. Well, that's good. That's great.
He was all over that fight. The octogenarian fight, Paul against Tyson.
That one fight, that next Dustin, Netflix
didn't
fight.
Didn't you cash on that?
Immediately. Yes. Immediately went to the app.
That's pretty good.
From work. Yep. It's allowed.
Yeah. Is it? Mitch, can you call HR?
Get a ruling on that.
All right. We've got so much to get to. 312-644-6767. We're going to get to your phone
call. Tell us how the Bears win.
Yeah. We're still looking for a reason to believe. And people have reasons. They just need to share the Mullion on the score.